welcome. We're talking about coaching, as we usually do when you see the three of us. Our first question today who was it by? I think it was from Kelly. Kelly asked, I think I'm giving so much value during my free consultations that I'm losing clients because they get so much value, they don't sign up to the package that I'm offering. So in your consultation, however long that might be, there have been already shifts, there have been already so much value. Maybe you're the kind of coach who, you know, puts suggestions out there, recommendations, whatever it is, after your first session, which is supposed to be the entry into a package or into a longer relationship, that they walk away with so much value that they don't actually sign up as a client. Happens occasionally. Maybe it happens to you often. It certainly happens to Kelly enough that she's considering whether maybe she should perhaps do a more traditional consultation where you don't actually get into any kind of value or coaching. So I think it's a valid question to discuss, you know, and hopefully gets you to think about how you run your consultations or first sessions or whatever you might call that. So I'm just throwing that out there. Thank you, Kelly, for the question. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, when I first came out of coaching school and started my personal coaching and was trying to meet new clients, I used to offer a 1 hour consultation. And I kind of saw that mostly as an opportunity for me to speak about coaching, what it is, and kind of introduce this topic to people who maybe hadn't come across it before. But more recently, I read a book called The Prosperous Coach, which you guys actually recommended to me. And that kind of made me think about the initial consultation in a completely different way. And I kind of shifted to making it a 2 hour consultation and making it an actual coaching session in itself. And it's interesting. I feel like I can relate to Kelly's question, because I would say one thing that's happened since I've done that is I've also struggled with actually then converting people into ongoing clients, whilst I felt like the experience they had in our 2 hour session was kind of perhaps so helpful and they got so much out of it. It felt so positive and they even recommended me on to other people, but they themselves kind of didn't then continue to go deeper or further with me at that time. Now, this is all fairly recent and fresh, and maybe it's one of those where it takes a bit of time for the dust to settle and then perhaps they will seek out further support or want to go deeper. But yeah, Kelly, I feel you. I could relate. So I'm curious what you two more experienced boys kind of have to offer.
Yeah. And I think, you know, from personal experience, by the way, like, I think it can be really frustrating. You know, if you know, like, you know, you can help someone, you spend a lot of time with them, and then they're like, yeah, I'm good. But actually, you know, looking at it, you know, taking kind of myself personally out of it, I think is the best thing. You know, if I can really coach someone really powerfully, and at the end of that session they say, hey, that was great, I don't need you anymore, I'm happy, right? And what I've personally, what I've seen is that's really useful is not just coaching people on the thing that they come to. And often I think people, you know, come with one problem or one goal. But what I like to do is just really slow down and see what is behind that. So I like to go, there's two things, you know, that I like to do. I like to go wide, just really asking, what else do you want? Before I kind of go into one thing, I want to really slow down and ask that question 4 or 5 times. Well, what else do you want? That's great. You want to build a rocket ship? Cool. Let's put it on the side. What else do you want? Mm-hmm. And I think by just really slowing down, we can get an, you know, and just not for the sake of signing them up or make, you know, having them enroll into our packages, but really slowing down and seeing what are the things that they want. And often what I've noticed is that the first thing that they come with is not the most important thing that they want. Mm-hmm. Right? So first I'll go wide. And then the second thing I go do is go deep by asking them, you know, the why question, or asking them, you know, what is the reason you want this? Right? So why can sometimes feel a little bit, you know, maybe judgmental or something, you know, but I think it's a powerful question to just really slow down and say, well, tell me more, like, why do you want this? Or what's the reason you want this? And then you go a few levels deep, right? There's a great story that really stuck with me. One of my coaches told me this years ago. He said, you know, a man comes to a coach and says, hey, I want to build a rocket ship. And the coach gets excited and says, let's do it, right? And they work together for a few months. And then, you know, the client is really unhappy. And the rock's almost built. And the coach is really, you know, surprised and says, what's going on? And he says, well, you know, I wanted to build this rocket ship because I want to get away from my wife, right? And this happens often when we jump too quickly on board.
This
and
happens
try...
often?
Well, maybe not the exact situation, but I think, you know, it happens often that people come for one thing, but the actual reason is something else. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think personally what's really helped me is just to slow down. And again, not so much for my own agenda. I don't want to like find out, well, tell me about your biggest dream. But I want to just really slow down and find out what is the real reason they came to that session with. What is behind that? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I think that's looking at what's behind those goals gives you a lot to work on potentially. It just really opens up the session to a point where you can't possibly like shift all of that in one session. So looking at what the higher level goals are is, I think, super important to put things into context. You know, it gives you so much to work on with this presenting issue or the presenting goal, the one that they come in with first as the first step on a larger journey. However, I want to also respect the goal that they're coming in with. You know, for example, the client I was immediately thinking about wanted to build their website. You know, and after that session, she had enough to go away and build her website. You know, we went through this whole process and it was really useful. She had an experience of what coaching might be like. And I know ultimately she'll probably come back, you know, if there's something else that she wants to utilize that process for. It's just at that particular time, that's the thing that she wanted to do. I know that person will recommend me to other people. You know, because she had a really, really good experience. She actually offered to pay. And this is one of those questions as well that's kind of related to it. And I hear on a regular basis, it's like, well, somebody wanted to pay me for the free consultation because they got so much value out of it, but they didn't want to sign up for a package. I tend to invest that offer into the future and say, look, you know, that's part of my process. I'm not going to charge you for this. Just, you know, if ever you think this could be valuable, this kind of conversation, do come back, you know. That's fine. Somebody else might choose to, okay, I'll take your money. You know, that's fine too. Some people feel better if they feel like there's an exchange. Generally, I think it's a really good sign if you help somebody so much in that session that they walk away with lots and lots of value.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I wanted to add is it's important for that reason to make some space at the end of a consultation to kind of feel into it. You know, what happened to me in the beginning is that all of a sudden we're out of time and I kind of forgot about the selling element of the consultation, because I call it a consultation because clients expect that, you know, that like that there's going to be a sales process involved in some way or another. So ring fencing enough time, you know, the last 10, 20 minutes of that session or of that conversation to say, hey, so, you know, what did you get out of it? How did you like the space? Is this something that you would consider going forward? And if they then tell you, well, actually, you know, I got so much out of this, that what I come in with is already solved now, then this, the question from Tsiebosch comes in, you know, super powerfully. Okay, so what's next? What else could we do here? You know, if we got rid of this that you thought was a really complex problem that you reached out to somebody for help, you know, if we can solve this in an hour or two, imagine what else we could do. Well, what else do you want to do? And that's a really exciting conversation that you want to have some time for at the end of the conversation.
I really agree with that, Yannick. I think that's super powerful, and that's certainly something I feel I will take forward into my process. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and as coaches, we have options, right? Personally, I don't make, you know, a proposal in the first session. And for me, the same reason is like, I would never ask a girl to come home with me at the first date, right? It's the same idea for me. So I just want to slow down. So if at the end of a session, I just check in with someone, has this been useful, you know? And then I just ask them, would you like to speak again? Mm-hmm. Right? So there are different options that we have here. And, you know, another, so something that came up for me
I can't get over the idea that on the first date Siavash goes far, like wide and deep. But it doesn't take her home.
Yeah.
No, sorry, please continue. Carry on.
That's a good one. But I think, you know, like, so here's something that might be useful for the listeners, right? Someone came to me, very successful, right? Making, I don't know, I think it was like 7 to 10,000 a month in their job. And he wanted help building his business, photography business, right? And he came into the session really, like, you could see that he was stressed out. And he was like, he said to me, hey, I've been doing this for 4 years, right? I've talked to so many coaches, you know, can you help me? Can you promise me that you can help me, you know, transition out of my job in the next 6 months, 6 to 12 months? And I said, well, hey, let's slow down. Like, tell me more about this. And we spent like around an hour together. And, you know, and again, I did this exercise and I really found out, well, what the reason is that he wanted to transition out of his job. And initially was like, yeah, well, it's my passion. And I see this a lot of times, right? We think, well, we need to follow our passion because that's, you know, that's the thing to do. And when we really slowed down, it came down to, well, you know what? My job is making me unhappy. And I just asked him like, hey, are you open to be coached around that? And he said, yes. And we had a coaching session just around that, right? Because I believe that happiness is inside job. And we coached around that. And at the end of that session, he was like, you know what? You know, he came back and he emailed me and he said, hey, my life has changed. So I said, okay, are we complete? He said, no, I still want to hire you to build that photography business. But there was a shift. Instead of the frustration of like, I'm so unhappy, I hate my life, I hate my job, it went to, you know what, I'm really happy right now and I just want to do this. Mm-hmm. Right? And for that, you know, I was okay to let that go. And part of me, you know, the business side of it is thinks, well, you just lost a person, right? But I think if we do that, we really, you know, we really invest in people. If we really, you know, maybe he wouldn't sign up and he would just refer someone else, right? But what I really learned there is that we can slow down and help people get to what's really important. And for him, that was happiness. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, and I think there's something in me that if I'm holding back because I don't want to give value, as much value as I could be giving, because I want to wait until they're signed up as a paying client, I think if you don't do that, it communicates a confidence that in your services that you can do that consistently. You know, somebody, it feels a bit like somebody who would be hesitant to provide as much value as they could. They want you to sign up first so that they can be sure that they only give value to people who pay them. You know, and I like it when somebody provides a lot of value as if you're already a client, because I don't see people who are prospects. I see them as clients who are starting out and they might not choose to continue, you know, and they haven't paid me any money yet. But like, if you start the coaching process already in your first encounter, then you already started a journey of sorts. You know, and I think that builds a very strong relationship. It's not this pre-conversation and then you start the coaching. Although that said, some people do that very successfully and they have tried out both and they have experimented. And what they get better results with is to have a very consultation, sales conversation based process without any coaching involved. And I respect that. And it seems to work very well for people. So I think Siavash and I are both on the, you know, provide value, start the coaching journey, the kind of prosperous coach approach to it. And it worked well for us. But I just want to, you know, represent also the people who have a very strong sales consultation approach to it without any coaching involved. And it works really well for them. So I don't think there's a right and wrong here necessarily.
No, definitely. And I think, you know, as business evolves, it can change. Like for me, it's slowly changing and it's changing because my time is very limited, right? Our business is growing very fast. So I can really get on a lot of calls with people. So one of the things I'm doing different here is I'm creating marketing material where people can see me coach, mm-hmm. right? So I'm putting, for example, videos on YouTube where people can see me coach. And now what's happening is people watch that and they're like, hey, I want to work with you. And they get in a call, they're already sold on the idea of working together. So we can approach this in different ways, right? So it's again about, you know, like you said, there are people that are doing that really well. They're just getting on the call and selling. Mm-hmm. And then the other approach is, especially if you're not into marketing, is, you know, the Prosperous Coach way is really, really useful. Mm-hmm. You know, you can build a successful coaching practice without any marketing, mm-hmm. you know, like the traditional kind of way of marketing, of putting yourself out there, by just really getting into conversations with people.
Yeah, but this is really interesting how Kelly asked the question, because she said, well, I'm giving so much value in that consultation process. If you see the consultation process as starting way before you actually meet a client for the first time, you know, if you take into account that any kind of materials and content you put out there, any kind of online courses you might have, or, you know, any content on social media that where you talk about coaching or personal development or whatever it is that your thing is, If we take, for example, an online course where you provide lots of value, you're already providing lots of value and you're already starting to build a relationship with someone, just you haven't met them yet. You know, it's a one-way relationship. Yeah. They build a relationship with you. And then once you get into that first call, then you start building a two-way relationship, because now you know they exist and now you're having a two-way conversation. But you've already provided lots and lots and lots of value. And most people who do online courses or who do any kind of value, they're not worried that the value is going to lead to people not signing up because they got the value out of you already. It actually leads to the opposite, to attracting clients in to work with you, because they figured there's probably a lot more value where that came from.
One thing that it just kind of made me think as well is, from the perspective of a more recently qualified coach, I think the opportunity to use the first meeting to kind of do a proper coaching session and demonstrate kind of, you know, what the process of working together would be like has really helped me boost my confidence in terms of, you know, the people who do continue kind of have done it on the sole ground of experiencing what coaching would be like. So I don't know, I found that very helpful to kind of step into my role as coach and feel more confident about my coaching about it, for sure.
Yeah, and most of the coaching is still about the relationship, right? For me, first and foremost, coaching is a relationship between two people. It's not necessarily about, like, when you hear value, we often think, tips, advice, suggestions, you know, things I can use, practical tools and interventions. I don't think that's the kind of value that we often talk about. Mm-hmm. The value in a coaching conversation lies what's happening in that relationship. You know, so I think we need to separate these two, because I know there's a lot of coaches out there who do have a lot of tools in their bag and they're willing to, you know, offer them out there, and they can have a real practical, tangible difference for people. But there's lots of coaches out there who are more on the puristic or traditional facilitative kind of coaching approaches, where the value lies in what we generate during our conversation, you know, through the process of questioning and challenging and supporting, but not in that kind of value providing, here's some stuff for you way.
And actually, that's a really good point, because, you know, and I made a note of that earlier, is that value is often something that we see, right? You know, people read a personal development book, it's like, oh, I'm going to share this stuff and it's very valuable. And actually, I found that value is not often the same as creating impact, right? Mm-hmm. The most powerful coaches I've had, and I've hired coaches based on just an hour conversation where they're just quiet for 90% of the time, and they ask me like 2-3 questions and they challenge me and they call me out on my stuff. And I'm like, I want to work with you, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than a coach that tells me, well, you know, have you done this? Have you done that? Right. So that's really important to see that value. You know, we don't want to give advice. I personally think, you know, giving advice is definitely something that we want to stay away from. So value in coaching terms definitely is about, for me, it's about providing, you know, creating space, helping people to see an insight and asking powerful questions and calling people out. Right. And again, not for the sake of it, but just creating a space where you can say something that other people are not willing to say for the sake of service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a great point. So, and that would be great to reflect on, you know, for whoever is listening to this, am I just really providing value? Am I giving stuff, or am I just really, am I really coaching them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Anything else on this topic that you can think of? Because I think it's a, that would be a really good point to end on.
Mm-hmm. One last thing. I think that there's a great book called Getting Naked. And again, it's a metaphor, but this is what you want to, you know, and we talked a little bit about this, you know, as a coach, I think we want to get naked with our clients. Like we want to just really, you know, coach them and without attachment, right? Mm-hmm. And just really coach them powerfully. And in the book, it talks about letting go of the fear of losing the business. I think the moment as a coach, you can let go of this idea of like, well, you know, if I do this, maybe they will sign up. If I impress them, if I tell them this, if I tell them that, the moment you let go of that, that's when, you know, you can really show up powerfully and present, and actually you will enroll more, you know, people at a higher level.
Right? I totally agree. It gives off a completely different vibe when you don't necessarily need the business, you know, and it can be difficult, especially perhaps you're in a times of a global pandemic and you kind of really need that client to sign up in order to pay rent or to make your coaching business work. It can be difficult to kind of really adopt that mindset quite genuinely that I don't care if you sign up, because if I'm not the right coach for you and you don't feel, you know, really good in this relationship, then I don't want to work with you. You know, I've certainly in my history have taken on a few clients that where I didn't feel 100% about. I usually regretted it somewhat, you know, because I'm like, certain issues have come up where I kind of had a gut instinct that maybe this isn't the best match. On occasion, I have referred them. On occasion, I have not, because sometimes you just kind of do a job. But it does really change something when you tune in with somebody and you know that if they don't sign up, then that's probably a good thing, you know. And if you come in with that kind of confidence, you emanate that, and people pick up on it, and it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, you know, and just to close on that, right, it doesn't mean that we just want to coach people and then say, you know, are we done? Sometimes we just have to look someone in the eye and say, hey, we should work together, you know. And I think sometimes as a coach, especially, you know, and again, this is my view, might be not in alignment with everyone's view, sometimes I think if we know that we can help someone and we're very clear that they enjoy that conversation, there's a good connection. Sometimes I think we can just look someone in the eye and say, hey, we should work together. This is going to be great. Because sometimes, you know, people have that insecurity. Like, can I do this? Can I do that? You know, and sometimes they just need a hand. And I've had that many times. And it's taking courage to do that. But I've had many times where people say, hey, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for leading me there. You know, so it doesn't mean that as coaches, we're just doing this to, you know, to make a difference in the world. I think we have to remember that we are professionals, and we, you know, just like dentists, just like doctors, right? So sometimes it's okay to say, well, hey, let's work together. This is going to be great.
Cool. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Kelly. That sparked a lot of discussion. If you guys out there have more thoughts on this, I'd love to continue the conversation. You know, leave us something in the comments. Send us your questions if anything came up from that. And we're happy to, you know, look at some of your questions in future podcasts.
Hey, everybody. If you found this conversation helpful for you and your coaching practice, then there's a couple of ways that you can support the podcast and stay up to date with future episodes. Obviously, you can subscribe on here on YouTube if that's your jam. If you want to get it straight into your inbox, never miss an episode, there's a link in the description to can sign up for our mailing list. You can leave us a review or follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and come join us on Facebook. We'll get the conversation going there. Obviously, leave us a comment. You can support us on Patreon. And any way you choose to do that, tell a friend, whatever you want to do. We really appreciate it, and we hope you get a lot out of it. So, see you next time.